And then the reader said, this is the word of the Lord. Well, it's a story of violence. Now, if we're serious, we should take this to the Lord and ask him to impress on our spirit, what reality is this text mediating that we should take to ourselves? Is a story of court intrigue the kind of thing, as I've said before, that whole culture there in the Middle East is a very violent culture. This sort of thing took place again in the 10th, 12th century among the Muslims. The same sort of... what's the point? The point has to be that this woman who had usurped the kingship, not a descendant of David, in the real line of David, and had forced the country to practice idolatry. And the people of the land, the regular little folk, as soon as they got a chance, they destroyed all those altars to Baal and went back to worshiping God. And Jehoiada renewed a covenant with God and the people, and then with the king and the people to restore order. God would tolerate the violence because there's something more at stake. Truth. I just opened that up for you folks to think about and to, you know, the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Is this really the word of the Lord? Why is it the word of the Lord? It's a story of court intrigue that you'd find all over the world. I'm just trying to challenge you, that's all. You know, like, why is it in the word of God? Why is it there? What is the point? Certainly one point is to look at our hearts and say, where is there idolatry in my own heart? Where is God not first? And that exactly is what our Lord talks about in this gospel. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. We will be now. This is chapter 6. We have chapter 7 to go yet. And this is advice about money. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, because you'll lose them. Stock market will crash. You'll lose your wallet. Just happened to me the other day. You know, there it goes. If that's my life, it just disappeared. Store up treasures in heaven. Okay, fine. How do I do that? How do I store up treasures in heaven? I'm just trying to say, you know, this is the word of God. Do we take it seriously? You know, we read it, then do we just walk off? Or do we say, what does it mean to store up treasures in heaven? Surely that is love, generosity, forgiveness, working together, caring about the poor, telling people about God, preaching the gospel. Those are the things that change us and make us therefore more apt to live the life of God forever. And that's the treasure. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now the heart, you know, biblically means the whole center of your personality. The whole drive of your being is where you really make your deep decisions. In fact, it's that place in you which is unveiled before God. You can't hide there. Now, we often stay out of our heart because we don't want that kind of confrontation, or we don't want to be that honest. But real honesty means going there and trusting God, knowing his love for us. And then we have this use of this kind of proverb. The lamp of the body is the eye. Wow, just look at the problems blind people have because they can't see. The lamp of the body, that which guides the body is the eye, huh? If your eye is sound, your whole body's filled with light. You see things. You rejoice in things. You see people. You see their faces. You see. It brings light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness. Now, this is where why they hire biblical commentators. You see, what does this mean? Your eye is bad. Poneros, bad eye. It means envious. It's a very, as most of this biblical anthropology is, it is very, very deep and very sharp. Did you ever notice? You do it unconsciously. Now you're meeting somebody, and their eyes will tell you whether they're generous or jealous. Generous or avaricious. You know. Just by their eyes, you know, huh? Somebody who's out to make money, have power, like our dear friend Ahalia here, their eyes, they're not clear. They're not clear. And you know that. Now, in our culture, we don't really think about it much. It would help us if we did. But just walk into a group, walk into a bus, walk into something. And even where you decide to sit down, you know, somebody's giving impressions that we're picking up, but we don't think much about them. But you see, if you've got your mind on yourself, on your money, on your power, then you're picking your friends, you're doing, and your eyes show it. If you needed $10 to get home and you're in a crowd, you'd look around for somebody who looks like they'd probably give you $10 to get home. Right? That's somebody with a good eye. Their eye, their face is open, their eyes are open. They're generous. People who are self-centered, avaricious, self-seeking, looking for power, and so forth, there's something wrong with their eyes. And that's what our Lord is talking about. You see, if your eye is bad, it doesn't mean you need glasses. You might. It means you're looking on the world on what can it do for me. And your eyes are going to show it. And if the light in you is darkness, then how great will the darkness be? If you are that self-centered, that interested in yourself, your power, your wealth, your comfort, you know, and you're navigating through life, smiling at the ones that can be useful, paying no attention to those that are not going to be useful to you, then your whole darkness will be great. Will be great. Remember, this is the Son of God teaching us. He knows. And so we can profit from the wisdom of Middle Eastern anthropology for our own good. Let's pray for the kind of heart that gives us a clear eye. We're not jealous. We're not avaricious. We're not ambitious. We're not willing to put others down to put ourselves forward. And we're willing to trust people. See, then our eyes are clear. And if our eyes are clear, then we start to see reality as it really is. And that gives us wisdom. And if we don't, then if the light in you is darkness, how great will the darkness be? There's a discipline involved in this, right? Because none of us are born with clear eyes or dark eyes. Those eyes reflect our decisions. And that's what our Lord is talking about. But remember, this is an appeal of love. This is coming from the heart of Jesus. This is an appeal of love. This is not harsh condemnation. It's a warning, of course, but it's more than that. It's a call out to love, to be generous in your thoughts, in your judgments, in your actions, to be generous.